We need heroes. We need people we can trust.
Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll on integrity.
We're not looking for perfection. We'll never find that except in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We need heroes who are authentic. Entrepreneurs, athletes, employers, employees, pastors, laymen and women, board members, artists, musicians. We need people of integrity.
Anyone who chooses to follow God understands what it means to sacrifice, to set aside, and to surrender things you value. It's all part of walking with integrity and humility and putting others before yourself. But what's the benefit, the reward of those sacrifices? Welcome to Insight for Living, featuring the fourth and final study in the series called A Life Well Lived. Today, you'll hear a message from Chuck Swindoll, originally delivered on board a cruise ship just off the majestic shoreline of Alaska. He was speaking to a receptive group of friends attending an Insight for Living conference. The title of Chuck's message, Enjoying the Rewards.
If you have your Bible handy, turn to Proverbs chapter 10. We'll look at that and then a few others before we come to Daniel chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. These first few proverbs I'll read are called contrastive proverbs for obvious reason, usually divided in the middle of the sentence with the word but, or however, or yet. Proverbs 10, verse 9. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. I want you to see both ends of the same statement. There is a walking in integrity that brings security. However, there is exposure that happens to one who fakes it, who perverts his way. Next chapter, verse 3, Proverbs 11, 3. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. I don't know where you are in this message. I don't know where you are in life, but maybe this is the night to begin to start doing things right. Maybe this is the time, maybe this is the place in the quietness of our time together for you to determine deep in your heart where decisions are made, where life makes up its mind, for you to determine from this day forward, I will begin to live a life that has no duplicity, that will not pose, that refuses a crooked plan or compromise. I'll face the truth. When I'm wrong, I'll admit it. When I'm right, I'll give God the credit for it. But I will stand firm in my integrity. 13 verse 6, same thought, different words. 13:6, another contrastive proverb. Righteousness guards the one whose way is blameless, but wickedness subverts the sinner. Two more. Chapter 20, verse 6, one of my favorite two verses in Proverbs. 20, verses 6 and 7. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? Look at the next verse. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his children after him. The thumbprint of integrity is passed on to our children. How blessed are his sons and daughters after him. Proverbs 20, verses 6 and 7. One other, 28, verse 6. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. Now, men and women, I want to tell you, I am one who loves this nation with my whole heart. I served my country in a military organization. I look back on it with nothing but gratitude. My heart grieves for this nation. And I know many of you would say the same thing. It isn't the same country it was when we were children. That breaks our hearts. Several years ago, James Patterson and Peter Kim released a penetrating book entitled The Day America Told the Truth. It's not a Christian book. Some of the sections in it are pretty raw, a little bit coarse. But it's the result of an extensive opinion poll taken by these two authors, Patterson and Kim. They guaranteed anonymity to the participants who responded to the questionnaire that was sent out. It's a 200-page volume, actually more than 200 pages, that exposes the integrity crisis in our nation. One particular question stabbed me awake. I still can't forget it. What are you willing to do for $10 million? The answers that came back are borderline shocking, if not altogether. One person said, 25% of the people who responded said they would abandon their families for $10 million. 23% would become a prostitute for a week for $10 million. 7% of those who responded would murder a stranger. 7 out of every 100. If my math is right, that's about 55 people in a group our size would murder someone who is a stranger for $10 million. In a random gathering of Americans, 7 people would consider murdering you if the price is right. Frightening. All of this makes us appreciate the straightforward prayer of the former chaplain of the Kansas Senate named Fred Holloman. I quote his prayer before the Senate. Omniscient Father, help us to know who is telling the truth today. One side tells us one thing, the other just the opposite. And Lord, if neither side is telling the truth, we would like to know that too. If each side is telling half the truth, give us the wisdom to put the right halves together. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, you remember I said he's the former chaplain of the Kansas Senate. Before you start feeling smug, saying, well, I'm a Christian, and that makes me in a different category of Americans, I'm going to have to burst that balloon. Sometime after Patterson and Kim wrote their book, Doug Sherman and William Hendricks, son of Professor Howard Hendricks, Hendricks and Sherman wrote a book for Christians titled Keeping Your Ethical Edge Sharp, went through the same process, sending out an extensive questionnaire to believers in America. They built an embarrassing case against fellow Christians based on hard evidence. They came to the conclusion, and I quote, the general ethical conduct of Christians varies only slightly from non-Christians in America. It's an absence of integrity. They revealed in their book that Christians are just as likely to falsify their income tax returns, commit plagiarism, bribe to obtain a building permit, ignore construction specifications, shift the blame onto someone else when wrong has been done, illegally copy a computer program, steal from the workplace, and selectively obey the laws of the land. By the way, what would you do for $10 million if no one else knew? What would you do? When I moved from the pastorate into the presidency role at Dallas Seminary, I spent my first several weeks getting acquainted with different departments, meeting all the faculty, getting to know all the staff, going from one part of the school to another, one campus to another, and we have extensions around the country, so I visited them. And in the process, I visited the book room. And while I was in the book room, I was shocked to find there are now cameras in the bookstore. So I said to the man showing me around, what are the cameras? He said, well, why do you think they're there? Our students steal. Obviously not the majority, but until we put up the cameras, we didn't know who they were. They would take in old Bibles, and they would take new Bibles out of the box and put their old Bible in the box and walk out with the new Bible until we put up the cameras. They would take computer programs and they would steal them while no one was looking. At Dallas Theological Seminary, there are thieves. I say that to our shame. It is true at every seminary in the country. The absence of integrity. If it's true in a seminary campus, if it's true in an anonymous questionnaire around the country, you want me to finish that sentence? Elton Trueblood underscores the essential presence of what he calls the moral element. Love this statement. It's hard to think of any job in which the moral element is lacking. The skill of the dentist is wholly irrelevant if he is unprincipled and irresponsible. There is little in that case to keep him from withdrawing teeth unnecessarily, because the patient is usually in a helpless situation. It is easy to see the harm that can be done by an unprincipled lawyer. Indeed, such a person is far more dangerous if he is skilled than if he is unskilled. What a great statement. If you are skilled, if you are gifted, if you are a leader, if people trust you, you are in a dangerous place if you lack integrity. You can and you will take advantage of them. And most of them will not know it. In a previous copy of Boardroom Reports, Peter Levine writes, "When the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey ran a help wanted ad for electricians with expertise in using Sontag connectors, they got 170 responses, even though there is no such thing as a Sontag connector. The authority ran the ad to find out how many applicants falsify their resumes. It is an absence of integrity. We need heroes. We need people we can trust. We're not looking for perfection. We'll never find that except in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're not looking for sinlessness. If you are, you'll be disillusioned. We need heroes who are authentic. We need former coaches we can look back on and say, that is a model of what I want to be like as I'm growing up. Entrepreneurs, athletes, employers, employees, pastors, laymen and women, board members, artists, musicians, those who are before the public and those who do not live their lives there. We need people of integrity. Such a man was Daniel. And I want to use him, turn to Daniel chapter 6 now, I want to use him in a brief biographical sketch here and then draw from his life some of the rewards that come when you're committed to integrity, when you're committed to a life well lived, when you're committed to doing what is right, loving kindness, and walking in humility. What are the rewards? But first, let's check out the man who models it beautifully. Daniel is a Jewish leader. Unlike Micah, who wrote about 700 B.C., Daniel writes about 537 B.C. If you know your Jewish history, you know that Micah was a pre-exilic prophet. Daniel was an exilic prophet, meaning the Jews were now in exile by the time Daniel took up his stylus to write. Before they went into exile, Micah wrote and warned them. By the time they had gone into exile, Judah taken over by Babylon and taken to the country of Babylon in exile, Daniel begins to write. Daniel emerges from the top of his class as he graduates from this special group of people who are being prepared to be people of the court in the country of Babylon. Daniel emerges as a remarkable young man, what we would call a top of his class, and a man of integrity throughout his life. And ultimately, he reaches older age and has been through more than one national regime, and now is serving under an authority named Darius, D-A-R-I-U-S, who is leading the Medes and the Persians. And Daniel is in a place, sort of the spotlight. In fact, we'll read of it here in Daniel 6. I want you to see his integrity. It seemed good to the king, that's Darius, to appoint 120 satraps. Think of the word governors. To appoint 120 governors over the kingdom, that they should be in charge of the whole kingdom. So the king decided he would divide the province, the kingdom of Persia, into 120 provinces, over which there would serve a governor, a leader, called here a satrap. And over them, over the 120 governors, notice in verse 2, he appointed three as commissioners. One of the paraphrases renders this vice regents. These vice regents are the people of authority over the 120 governors. So we got 120 answering to three who answer to the king. The purpose is accountability, of course. These governors, that these governors might be accountable to them, that the king might not suffer loss, financial matters as well as other responsibilities. Verse 3, then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the vice regents and the governors because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. One version of the Bible reads this way in verse 3, but Daniel, brimming with spirit and intelligence, so completely outclassed the other vice regents and governors that the king decided to put him in charge of the whole kingdom. That would be like a prime minister serving under the king. Daniel would become prime minister. However, before the appointment is made, and as the word leaks that Daniel's going to get this appointment, his colleagues, his contemporaries decide it's time to do an investigation and show the king that he's not qualified. And verse 4 tells the story. Then the vice regents and the governors began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. Just a moment here before we go further. That would be like bringing into your company 60 Minutes, a surprising moment on Monday morning. They show up with cameras and reporters, people who are going to look through and investigate and interview individuals in your company. In this case, it's Daniel's business. They are going to go through his files. They're going to talk to people he's done business with. They're going to check out what life had been like while no one was looking. They're looking into the depths of Daniel's life. They're looking for dirt. They're suspicious, and their investigation, I take it, is secret. Now the end of the verse. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption. Isn't that a remarkable statement? Why? He was a man of integrity. The scripture reads, he was faithful. No negligence or corruption was to be found in him. We have a man on our staff at Stonebriar who has a wonderful statement. He said, I think things ought to always be clear and clean. That's worth writing down on page 56 of your little booklet. Things ought to be clear and clean. In your company, things ought to be clear and clean. In the way you do business, things ought to be clear and clean. At Insight for Living, we don't have to, but every year we have an audit. It's an independent audit to make sure that there is nothing out of line financially. We have now instigated a plan to have an inner office audit that goes on over and above the external audit that happens once a year, where the details of the way we do our work and the reporting of financial matters is all on the up and up. I have never known a year in these 27 years when we've gotten anything but a top report. In fact, on occasion, the CPA, the investigating firm, will say, you folks are sort of the state of the art in how organizations ought to handle matters. That's a relief. You will sleep real well at night knowing that nothing is uncovered. Nothing has broken the integrity. My desire now is to move from Daniel to our lives and to encourage you. If you brought your Insight for Living booklet with you, please turn to pages 56 and 57, if you haven't already. because I want you to write this down. If you didn't bring the booklet, find a piece of paper, find something, put it in maybe one of the blank pages at the back of your Bible. Haven't you always wondered why there's so many blank pages there? That's the reason. When you come to an Insight for Living cruise, that's the page that's been set aside for you. Write down 6 rewards of a life well lived. That's the title of the last part of what I have to share. And I'm through. 6 rewards of a life well lived. The reason I identify the number, there may be 15, there may be 20, but these are 6 that come to my mind when I think about integrity, when I think about Daniel, why they didn't find a ground of accusation against him. What are the rewards that come when you live a life where you do what is right and you love kindness and you walk in humility? There's an authenticity about you. You don't pose. You don't fake it. What can you count on by way of rewards? Here are the 6. Number 1, the sustained cultivation of exemplary character. The sustained cultivation of exemplary character. 2, the continued relief of a clear conscience. Who hasn't tossed and turned through the night struggling over having done something or said something wrong that previous day? The continued relief of a clear conscience comes when our conscience is clear and clean. 3, here's the 3rd to write down, the personal delight of intimacy with the Almighty. The personal delight of intimacy with the Almighty. Not just a relationship, but an intimacy. You and he are on speaking terms. You talk to him regularly and you hear from him regularly. Here's the 4th. The priceless inheritance of a lingering legacy. A life well lived is a life that leaves a magnificent legacy. 5, the rare privilege of being a mentor. The rare privilege of being a mentor. When you move into the role of a mentor, you have moved to perhaps the highest echelon of a relationship. 6, the crowning reward of finishing well. The crowning reward of finishing well. If there is one haunting thought that hangs in the back of the mind of a person who longs to be one of integrity, it is the fear of winding up our lives beaten down, beached, and broken. Finish well. Finish strong.
Enjoying the Rewards. That's the title of today's message from Chuck Swindoll. You're listening to Insight for Living, and we'll hear a closing comment from Chuck in just a moment. The complete 4-part series is called A Life Well Lived. The series concludes on Monday. Chuck's messages on board the cruise were filmed and turned into a DVD. The DVD series comes neatly boxed and with the added bonus of a helpful Bible companion study guide. You can find out more about this DVD series, A Life Well Lived, online at insightforliving.org.uk or call the number I'll share in a moment. The Insight for Living UK family is growing all the time as people newly discover our broadcasts and the teaching of Chuck Swindoll. If you're one of those who has recently discovered us, or maybe you've just never got in touch with us before, then why not do so today? And this month, anyone who contacts our UK office for the first time will receive a free copy of one of Chuck's short books, The Rising Hope. Let me repeat, if you've never contacted us before, we'd like to send you a free copy. Just call us on 0800 787 9364. Also, I'd like to tell you about an exclusive resource from Insight for Living. It's the 3rd and final edition in a series of collectible tabletop books called 3 Years with Jesus, a pictorial journey through the ministry of Christ. It's the 3rd and final edition in a series of collectible books. This one is called 3 Years with Jesus, a pictorial journey through the ministry of Christ. With colourful photographs from the Holy Land, this book presents a chronological look at the most important events in Jesus' ministry, and it includes devotional readings as well. This is the very last day I'll be mentioning this book, so to inquire about it, here are our contact details again. Just call us on 0800 787 9364, or write to Insight for Living UK, P.O. Box 553, Dorking, RH49EU.
Pictures help all of us learn. Pictures help us remember. Once you've seen something with your eyes, those images reinforce your memory and stir up deep emotions for many years to come. For that very reason, we're pleased to offer you the third and final in our collection of pictorial devotional books that follow the life of Christ. This third volume is called 3 Years with Jesus, a pictorial journey through the ministry of Christ. Along with 23 devotional readings and a wonderful map of the land of Israel, we want you to witness the serene landscapes of the Holy Land, where Jesus once walked among us, where he taught his disciples, where he did his greatest work. This is a book that deserves a prominent spot on your coffee table, where you'll pick it up from time to time, and each time you'll be reminded of the colorful places where Jesus fulfilled his mission and changed history forever.
Remember, I won't be mentioning this beautiful book anymore, so to inquire about it, just call us on 0800 787 9364, or write to Insight for Living UK, P.O. Box 553, Dorking, RH49EU, and online, go to insightforliving.org.uk. I'm Terry Boyle, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Join us again on Monday to hear Chuck Swindoll on Insight for Living. The preceding message, Enjoying the Rewards, was copyrighted in 2007, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2012 by Charles R. Swindoll, Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide.